To turn back in our Bibles to the book of Proverbs in the 25th chapter. 1 James chapter 3. Let us stand together and give our attention to the reading and the hearing of God's word and show our reverence for him. Let not many of you become teachers, my brethren, knowing that as such we shall incur a stricter judgment. For we all stumble in many ways. If anyone does not stumble in what he says, he is a perfect man, able to bridle the whole body as well. Now, if we put bits into the horses' mouths so that they may obey us, we direct their entire body as well. Behold, the ships, although they are so great and are driven by strong winds, are still directed by a very small rudder wherever the inclination of the pilot desires. So also the tongue is a small part of the body, and yet it boasts of great things. Behold how great a forest is set aflame by such a small fire. And the tongue is a fire, the very world of iniquity. The tongue is set among our members as that which defiles the entire body, and sets on fire the course of our life, and is set on fire by hell. For every species of beasts and birds, of reptiles and creatures of the sea is tamed, and has been tamed by the human race. But no one can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil and full of deadly poison. With it we bless our Lord and Father, and with it we curse men who have been made in the likeness of God. From the same mouth come both blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not to be this way. Does a fountain send out from the same opening both fresh and bitter water? Can a fig tree, my brethren, produce olives, or a vine produce figs? Neither can salt water produce fresh. Who among you is wise and understanding? Let him show by his good behavior his deeds in the gentleness of wisdom. But if you have bitter jealousy and selfish ambition in your heart, do not be arrogant and so lie against the truth. This wisdom is not that which comes down from above, but is earthly, natural, demonic. For where jealousy and selfish ambition exist, there is disorder and every evil thing. But the wisdom from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, reasonable, full of mercy and good fruits, unwavering, without hypocrisy. And the seed whose fruit is righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. Now the book of Proverbs. Chapter 25, verses 11 and 12. Proverbs 25, 11 and 12. Like apples of gold in settings of silver is a word spoken in right circumstances. Like an earring of gold and an ornament of fine gold is a wise reprover to a listening ear. May God bless to our understanding the reading of his word. Let's pray together. Almighty God, our Father, we bless you and thank you that you are the one who has given us the word. You have created all things by your speech. You have given us the written word, and you have revealed therein the living word, even the Lord Jesus Christ. And we thank you that as you have revealed yourself to us, so you have given us the capacity likewise to communicate with you and with one another. And we pray that we might use this precious gift the way that you have ordained, that our lives and our words may be a source of life to those about us. Guard our hearts, for therefrom proceed the issues of life. Grant then, Lord, that you would both convict us and that you would control us by your word and spirit, and use us, Father, to take the gospel unto the ends of the earth. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. Please be seated. You stop and think about it. Communication is one of the most common things in life. You can't get through a day without it. Think of everything that you've done today and how much of it has involved communication. just about everything that you've done has involved that activity. At the same time that it is a common activity of life, communication is one of the most important activities of our daily routine. You can stop and think about all the things which have been accomplished through good communication, and you can think about all of the grief caused by poor communication. Driving down the road, and this is presumption, it's a lack of communication. You get down the highway and say, did you close the front door? No, I didn't close the front door. Did you close? Bunny and I actually came home from vacation one time, and our neighbors said that after we'd gone on vacation, the next day they noticed our front door standing wide open. They couldn't quite figure it out because they thought we'd gone on vacation. But that was one of those things. Everybody just assumed that somebody else had closed the front door, and we were in such, this wasn't here, this was back in California, but everybody just assumed that everybody else had closed the front door. We hadn't communicated very well. You can cause yourself a lot of grief or a lot of potential grief by poor communication. So it's common, it's important, but I want you to understand also that communication is also one of the most difficult activities of our daily routine, just precisely because of some of the problems that are involved in it. And I can't get this right, I never can, but no matter how I say it, you will understand. You can be speaking to someone and say, I know that you think that you understand what you believe that I meant, but I want you to know that what you heard is not what I said. Right? You get the idea of what we're talking about here. It's very difficult because there are so many facets to communication. You have the intent of the one speaking. You have two realms. You have someone who's speaking. You have someone who's hearing. Then you have the intentions of the one who is speaking and the perceptions of the one who is hearing. The presuppositions of the two may not match up. You may be using similar words and yet have different meanings involved. You have difficulties with the connotations that certain words have with them. And so you have trouble with the message, and then you have trouble with the vehicle which carries the message. And all of these things can become very confused. And those of you who have who are married know, as close as you and your spouse may be, sometimes you get really confused about things simply because you don't communicate very well. So I want to talk again, and I know we've talked about this before, but I almost passed over this. But because of that passage in James and this passage here, I wanted to speak once again about communication, about speaking and hearing, because it's common to us, it is important to us, and yet it is so difficult, and particularly with the Christian faith, which is to be communicated by the preaching of the Word of God, by the use of our speech. It is important, once again, to settle on this. And James tells us that when we have stopped having difficulty with our speech, we will be perfect men. We won't need anything else. I think what he's telling us is that we'll be in glory and the flesh will be done away with. So the first thing that I want to point out, and these two verses give us really the two sides of communication. Like apples of gold in settings of silver is a word spoken in right circumstances. Like an earring of gold and an ornament of fine gold is a wise reprover to a listening ear. So the first thing that I want to urge upon you, once again, it's nothing that you have not heard, is that you ought to practice good communication by speaking conscientiously. Because our speech is something which we do every day, because it is so common to us, I think often we fall into the trap of really not thinking about what we are doing. I know that's the case with my children, and they know that that's the case with me as well. We sometimes speak simply to hear ourselves speak. But we need to be conscientious. We need to be self-conscious about our speech. We at least need to be so grounded in the Word of God that that which we do by nature flows from a right heart, because it is out of the abundance of the heart the mouth speaks. But particularly as we are seeking to cultivate this wise speech, this conscientious speech, be conscientious concerning the subjects about which you speak. And there are several things we'd point out to you here. If you go back to Proverbs chapter 10 and verse 19, we see there, when there are many words, transgression is unavoidable. But he who restrains his lips is wise. And I think what we get from that, if we're always talking, that's one thing. But he also says there's a time not to speak. There are some things we really ought not to speak about. And there are several categories, and you can probably come up with more than I have here. But as I was thinking about it, I thought, well, what are some of the things about which we ought not to speak? Well, we ought not to speak about that which is never edifying. Let no corrupt communication proceed from your mouth, but only that which is good for edification. And then later on in the fifth chapter of Ephesians, which we've looked at recently, he talks there about filthy speech and such things as that. There are some things that we ought never to speak about. Those things which are never edifying ought not to be those things of which we speak. Nor ought you to speak about that which you have no knowledge. Now, that doesn't mean you can't say, I don't know, because that's what we ought to say, but sometimes we have the tendency to speak even a sound authoritative about that which we have no knowledge or don't have the possibility of having any knowledge. Chapter 13 of Proverbs in verse 10. Through presumption comes nothing but strife, but with those who receive counsel is wisdom. Presumption. And then chapter 15 of Proverbs also, and verse 28. The heart of the righteous ponders how to answer, but the mouth of the wicked pours out evil things. You know, we may be aware of some situation just very vaguely and speak about that to someone else when we really don't have knowledge and really confound things. We ought not to speak about things of which we have no knowledge. We ought not to speak about the matters of another person's heart. Man looks on the outward appearance. God looks upon the heart. But we do not have the capacity to speak about the motivation of another person. We cannot see it. Now we can have our suspicions. But we ought not to speak about that which we have no knowledge. Nor should we speak about that which is not expedient. You know, there are some things, it isn't necessarily unedifying, tearing down. In fact, it may be edifying. But there are some things which simply are not expedient to speak about. In Proverbs chapter 12 and verse 23. A prudent man conceals knowledge, but the heart of fools proclaims folly. Now see, here you have a person who has something that may be edifying, and it says that he has knowledge, but he says a prudent man conceals knowledge. There are some times when you don't say what you know. You don't always have to be speaking of everything. It's the heart of fools that pours forth everything. Let's look at a couple of other passages here. Chapter 17 of Proverbs and verse 9. He who covers a transgression seeks love, but he who repeats a matter separates intimate friends. Again, the idea of concealing something. Love covers a transgression, but one who repeats a matter may separate intimate friends. Chapter 25, 9, in the very context in which we find ourselves, argue your case with your neighbor and do not reveal the secret of another. There are things which we may know that are told to us in confidence, and yet we just are not to speak of that. And then Proverbs chapter 29, two verses from Proverbs 29, verse 11. A fool, this really clobbers me, a fool always loses his temper, but a wise man holds it back. And then verse 20. Do you see a man who is hasty in his words? There's more hope for a fool than for him. That's called the double whammy, a double-barreled shotgun that pierces me every time. Fool is one who does not restrain his anger, speaks his mind when he's angry. And you see a man who's hasty in his word, there's more hope for a fool than for him. And as I think about that, one of the things that that Bunny has very graciously commented about, actually it came through one of my children, for which I'm thankful that this child mentioned it, but basically I'd fallen into the trap of grumbling again. Grumbling about this and grumbling. Now, you see what I was doing there. I was speaking my mind because I really was dissatisfied with everything. I was speaking the truth because I really was dissatisfied. But, you know, it really wasn't edifying, and nor was it expedient. It did nothing except make me miserable and everyone else as well. If we do speak, what we ought to do is we ought to speak the wisdom of God, that wisdom which is from above, which is first pure and then peaceable. And Proverbs 10 and verse 21 speaks of that, and there are many others. The lips of the righteous feed many, but fools die for lack of wisdom. We speak the wisdom of God. You know, if we have the Word of God in our hearts and on our minds, then our speech will be characterized by that wisdom which comes from the grace of God. So be conscientious concerning the subjects about which you speak. Be conscientious also about the words which you use. See, not only the matter of which you are speaking, but also the words which you use to communicate. Again, we want to look at some passages. I know I've got you turning back and forth, but that's okay. You'll see again how much, and we're just scratching the surface of what Proverbs has to say about this. Proverbs chapter 15 and verse 26. We'll just read a few portions of Scripture here. Evil plans are an abomination to the Lord, but pleasant words are pure. One chapter over, chapter 16, verse 21. The wise in heart will be called discerning, and sweetness of speech increases persuasiveness. Down a little bit further in that same chapter, verse 23. The heart of the wise teaches his mouth and adds persuasiveness to his lips. Pleasant words are a honeycomb, sweet to the soul, and healing to the bones. You see, we can have a proper subject matter, and we can fail to communicate that accurately because of the choice of words which we use. I've said this recently. I can't remember when. It was in a recent sermon, however. But we really ought to avoid generalizations in our speech. Now, there are times for generalization. You understand that. But usually in some type of intense speech with in which you are debating something, the words always and never. I'm going to generalize. No, I won't. Let me put it this way. Are rarely useful. Let me put it that way. Are rarely useful. I won't say they're never useful, but I will say are rarely useful. When you're accusing someone of some particular habit, it may indeed be a habit, but I doubt very much if they all, you know, Bunny can say to me pretty well, you're always grumbling, but that's not quite true. Usually when I'm preaching the Word of God, I'm not grumbling. I mean, when I stick to the Word, there are times when I am not grumbling and complaining. Avoid generalizations. You see, what that does is that cuts off the communication just by the words that we use. Now, I know there's a point behind our words, but it's not accurate. And so what happens is we immediately cause defense mechanisms to start flying up in whoever it is to whom we are speaking. And it doesn't increase your persuasiveness at all. It's one of the things that we need to do as Christians. We need to learn not to overstate our case. I thought Gary DeMar really put that home well in Friday night as he was talking about history. He says we ought not to sugarcoat the history of, for instance, of the United States. Yes, we had great Christian backgrounds, but there were some mistakes that were made by Christian men, and we ought not to simply gloss over them as if they never happened or deny that they happened. We ought not to do that. We ought to avoid those kinds of things. And then the other thing we ought to do is, and it's more particular, we ought to avoid provocative words, those which stir up undesirable emotions. You know, there are ways to speak about things, and some things just for whatever reason, and it's not always they aren't always good reasons, but some people just hear a word and it's a buzzword, and boy, no matter what you say after that, they aren't going to listen to you, because that you can talk about things in such a way that you can get around things and still communicate the truth without using those words which elicit an undesirable response. So be conscientious about the subjects of which you speak, the words which you use. Be conscientious about the manner in which you speak also. The manner. Here we're talking about not verbal communication. We've spoken about this before. But the intangibles. Chapter 15 of Proverbs in verse 1. A gentle answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. And as we pointed out before, you can use the same word, and the way that you say it will have different connotations. By your attitude and by your tone, that will all affect the way in which you speak. Words spoken with humility, compassion, and grace are far more useful in most cases than those who are, I would say in all cases, I'm going to generalize here, with regard than those which are spoken in pride and arrogance. You see, that is not the way the Lord would have us to deal with people. If a brother be overtaken in a fault, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of meekness, considering yourself, lest you also be tempted. So we ought to be conscientious about the manner in which we speak. We also ought to be conscientious about the circumstances of our speech. Like apples of gold in settings of silver is a word spoken in right circumstances. This goes back to the expediency idea. There's a time to speak and there's a time not to speak. Proverbs chapter 15 and verse 28, I believe, points this out to us. The heart of the righteous ponders how to answer. The mouth of the wicked pours out evil things. You see, there's a thought. How do I respond? In what circumstances? It's not just a canned answer, but rather it is that about which we ponder and we think about. It's a good thing to think before we speak. The book of James tells us, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. And then be conscious of the overall effect of your speech. Does it adorn your message and make it attractive? That's the picture that we have in verse 11. Like apples of gold in settings of silver is a word spoken in right circumstances. It's perfect. It's perfect. I don't know whether you've, the last time you've looked at that, but there are some gold and silver combinations in jewelry that are just absolutely spectacular. And each one sets the other one in contrast. And it's very attractive, very appealing. And that's the kind of thing that we want our speech to be. We can disagree with people, but we ought to labor with all of our being, not to be disagreeable, just in the way that we speak or in the words that we use or these things which we've talked about. Practice good communication by speaking conscientiously, but also practice good communication by listening respectfully. You see, communication is not just in speaking. The trouble in communication is not just with the tongue, although I must say, as James tells, it's a very world of iniquity. It sets on fire the course of this life and is set on fire by hell. How many times I've said, why in the world did I say that? But you know, there's also a problem of communication by sinful listening, too. I didn't write this proverb down, but I'm thinking of one in particular. It says, the liar is one... No. The fool is one who listens to lies. Maybe that's not it. I'll have to look it up for you. But anyway, That's what I wanted to get the point across. There's a sinful listening as well. If we're going to be good listeners, there are several things which we must do. We must learn, first of all, the value of instruction and reproof. Look at verse 12. Like an earring of gold and an ornament of fine gold is a wise reprover to a listening ear. You see, the value is to the one who hears, the wise reprover. In Proverbs chapter 20 and verse 15, we see a verse that I think points this out. There is gold and an abundance of jewels, but the lips of knowledge are a more precious thing, more precious than silver and gold. And then Proverbs chapter 6. Proverbs chapter 6, beginning with verse 20. My son, observe the commandment of your father and do not forsake the teaching of your mother. Now here he's talking about hearing, understand. Bind them continually on your heart, tie them around your neck. When you walk about, they will guide you. When you sleep, they will watch over you. And when you awake, they will talk to you. For the commandment is a lamp, and the teaching is a light, and reproofs for discipline are the way of life. Now, if you really value life, if you enjoy life, children, if you want the most out of life, learn to listen. Not just to speak, but listen. And listen to the things that you don't particularly want to listen to, which are the reproofs and the corrections which come to you from God, from your parents, from your friends, from your teachers. You listen to the reproofs, for in them is the way of life. So you learn the value of instruction and reproof. It's valuable in this life, and it's valuable for eternal life. Stop and think about everything that you have learned from instruction and correction. Most of what you know and most of what you practice has come about in that way. Secondly, appreciate the covenant faithfulness of a wise reprover. Reproof from someone who is wise is not a sign of their dislike of you. It is a sign of their love and devotion to you. A wise reprover who deals and communicates with us, if we have a hearing ear, if we value the instruction and if we value instruction and reproof, then we are going to value the instrument who brings it as well. The one who corrects us is a true friend who is devoted to our eternal good. You see, one of the things that I believe that is missing in the church at the end of the 20th century is just this very thing. One of the primary methods for our growth in grace has to do with our fellowship one with another, and particularly from correction. We don't listen to correction. We are offended when people correct us. And the scriptures tell us that the one who is offended by biblical correction is a fool. Children, did you hear that? If you are offended when your parents correct you, you're fools. The way of life is learning to value those things, to value that correction which instructs you in the way of life. And you see, if God were to work in our hearts and give us that particular grace of listening with attention and thanksgiving to those who correct us, do you see how the church would grow and prosper? Because we would be indeed hearing the word of life. Our blind spots would not remain blind to us for long, but we would then be able to deal with the matters that are before us. And so again, in dealing with these, you listen respectfully. And I believe the third thing you need to do to listen respectfully is to desire the grace of truth more than the deceptive comfort of falsehood. You ought to desire to hear the truth when it hurts more than you desire to hear falsehood when it feels so good. And the last thing that I would say to you this evening that kind of arises out of what we've already said is that you can sharpen your communication by your daily communion with God. If good communication requires conscientious speech and respectful hearing, the best way to cultivate those two graces is to learn to listen to God and to speak with Him. Because that's where it begins, because it is out of the heart, the abundance of the heart, that the mouth speaks. So you must spend time with the one, first of all, who created communication, who was the first one who communicated, and who governs communication. Respectfully listening to the Word of God will give you the discernment that you need for your own communication. If you are daily in the Word of God, you will be made aware of your need for correction. If you read the Word of God and listen, you will be aware of your need for correction. You won't be offended by it. It still amazes me after all of these years. I was speaking with the inquirer's class this morning. I believe I mentioned it. Maybe I'm not. Maybe I just thought about it and didn't mention it. You can tell me afterwards. But it's an astounding thing that we do not come to Christ apart from confessing that we are sinners. I mean, it's an impossibility. You cannot close with Christ without recognizing that you are a sinner without hope in this world. And for the life of me, I don't know why I get so angry when somebody comes up and points out to me that I'm a sinner. Right? It's because basically I forget. But if I'm in the Word of God day by day and hearing His Word, I'm going to be aware of my need for correction. We'll be instructed in the Word of grace. In other words, our own speech will be affected because we are the recipients of that grace of God. And we will be equipped because we will be reading the best example of communication that the world has, God's communication to us. Respectfully listening to His word then will give you the discernment that you need. And respectfully speaking in prayer will give you the strength that you need. If you really read with understanding, then you will be asking God to give you the grace to speak for His glory and to listen for His glory as well. And those things are not automatic. I was convicted last week as I was reading the duties of fathers in leading family devotions. And just that simple little thing that I read you from the Confession of Faith regarding family worship. What are the things that we pray for? Well, how about the grace to hear and understand the Word of God? How about the grace to believe the promises, tremble threats, and to obey the commandments? No, those are simple things, aren't they? But my Bible tells me that we do not have because we do not ask. And when was the last time we asked God for grace to hear, grace to understand, grace to believe the promises, grace to tremble at the threatenings, grace to obey the commands? See? And so we wonder why we struggle with those things. Well, it's because we aren't listening and because we aren't asking. So I hope this is helpful. I have not told you anything new, but neither have I told you anything that you didn't need to hear. At least, that's the way it is with me, and I suspect because God's word is true, you needed to hear it as much as I did. So may God bless to our hearts and our lives, our obedience, the reading and the hearing of His word. Like apples of gold in settings of silver, so is a word spoken in right circumstances. I can't remember the other one because it's not quite as like earrings of gold or something. So is a wise reprover to a listening year. Let's pray. Father, we pray that You would adorn our communication, both our speaking and our hearing, with that which would make our lives attractive. We pray that You will guard our speech, that both in the subject matter, the words that we use, the attitudes with which we speak, the circumstances in which we find ourselves, that in all of these things, we would speak that which is edifying according to the need of the moment, that it may give grace to those who hear. And Father, that is not something that we will find in ourselves. We beg you that you would come and that you would fill us with your Spirit. We pray that your word might abide in our hearts richly, and so out of the abundance of our heart, from those good treasures which you give us from your word, so we pray that out of us would flow the word of life, even as we have received it. And then, Father, we pray that you would give us the hearing ear, the ear that hears with faith your word, the ear that listens with respect to those whom you have appointed for our edification, our correction, and our instruction. Lord, we pray this blessing particularly upon our children. May we exhibit it to them, and we beg that they may learn to hear and learn to speak the word of truth. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's conclude our service this evening by turning to hymn 460. Love divine, all loves excelling, joy of heaven to earth come down. Fix in us thy humble dwelling, all thy faithful mercies crown. Let's stand together as we sing hymn 460.
Love divine, all loves excelling, joy of heaven to earth come down. Fix in us thy humble dwelling, all thy faithful mercies crown. Jesus, thou art all compassion, pure unbounded love thou art. Visit us with thy salvation, enter every trembling heart. Breathe, oh breathe, thy loving Spirit into every troubled breast. Let us all in thee inherit, let us find the promised rest. Take away the love of sinning, Alpha and Omega be, end of faith as its beginning, set our hearts at liberty. Come Almighty to deliver, let us all thy life receive. Suddenly return and never, nevermore thy temples leave. Thee we would be always blessing, certainly as thy hosts above. Pray and praise thee without ceasing, glory in thy perfect love. Finish then thy new creation, pure and spotless let us be. Let us see thy great salvation, perfectly restored in thee. Change from glory into glory, till in heaven we take our place. Till we cast our crowns before thee, lost in wonder, love, and praise.
Receive now the benediction of your God. And now may the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up the light of his countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen.